Sure, tonight for Beit HaDaf Tes. It's Thursday night, Tes Kislev. And the topic we're going to be discussing a little bit is the topic of Marasayin. So the question is, where does Marasayin come into the Gemara? And so it's based on a discussion that takes place in the Mishnah. Second Mishnah reads, Beishami Omri me molichin es asula mishovach l'shovach. You're not allowed to move or walk, I guess we'll call it move, a ladder from one dovecot to another dovecot, of Amateo Michalon Lechalon, but you can move it within the same shovach, you can move it from, or you can kind of tilt it from one window to the other, Ube Silom Matirin. And right off the bat, Rav Chanan Bar Ami comes in and tries to define what the machlokas is. So the Gemara is going to actually bring in two different opinions. The first opinion, two versions actually, of what Rav Chanan Bar Ami says. The first version says the following: I'm Rav Chanan Bar Ami, machlokas b'shus harabim. The machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is only going to take effect in Rishus Harabim. Meaning, to Beis Shammai Savri, Beis Shammai hold, haroa omer lahatiach gaga hutzarach, that a person who sees carrying the ladder to take the bird for your yontif suda, they're going to think that, oh, why are you taking the ladder? You're taking the ladder because you're going to fix your roof. That's going to be a problem, of course. Fixing a roof on yontif is not one of the things that you're allowed to do. Well, Beis Hillel Savri, Beis Hillel is going to say that, no, there's not going to be such a problem. Shov chomochiach alav, that your shovach, the fact that it's a shovach ladder as opposed to a workman's ladder, that's enough of a proof that's going to tell you that it's not much of an issue. And we don't have to be worried about it. Of course, the concern is, what we call this concern, we call this concern Marasayin. And what exactly is Marasayin? So Moshe formulates that Marasayin is that we're afraid that when you see somebody doing something, we're afraid that person was over an Avera. You're doing something that looks prohibited, I might associate you as doing an Avera. That's the idea of Marasayin. That's, of course, the difference in the prohibition of Chashad, that other people might learn to do from it too. This is just simply, you know, I assume that you're doing something wrong. So what does Beis Shammai hold? Beis Shammai holds that this type of a ladder is going to be Marasayin, and Beis Hillel is going to say Shov Chol Mochiach Alav. It's actually interesting because
Marasayin is Deuterabonon, isn't it?
Yes, Marasayin is Deuterabonon, Chashash might be Deuraisa. But it's interesting because this idea of Shov Chol Mochiach Alav, that already comes into a lot of Marasayin Shilas that aren't so many Shilas anymore. For example, you go to a wedding, go to a Chasna, so put out a little plate, usually have a roll, and there's something that looks this yellow, fatty-looking substance that's usually in the shape of a flower bud or some type of a vegetable, which after eating it a smorgasbord that's all fleishik, you sit down now and you have a little roll in front of you. It looks, of course, like
margarine.
Could be butter, right? Can't tell the difference, but the fact is that we know that margarine is such a prevalent thing that there is no reason need to assume that, or chashash, that they're putting out butter for you. And if somebody is sitting there at this chasna and, you know, spreading this on their roll and then having the first course of a fleishik, whatever is there, you don't have to assume that the guy's eating basar b'chalav because margarine is such a mainstream thing that it's not an issue. Similar as we have, let's say, coffee creamer. You know, there used to be more of a shaila that, you know, when you put out coffee creamer at the end, that you have to put it out in, like, the container.
In the label.
In fact, I still remember, I don't know if they do this anymore, that used to have, like, the individual little packets of, like, Rich's coffee, or maybe that's what it's called, no, Coffee Rich, that's what it was called. I forgot the name of the company that makes it, but Coffee Rich, that was the thing that we put in there. So, you know, afterwards, you open up you see that you're serving on the table there, that you actually have it in the package, the chashash, that we were afraid that it would actually be milk. Today, it's not much of an issue. Because everybody assumes that there's going to be coffee cream or par of ice cream, another example. Because something has become so prevalent, we're not worried about it. Another example of Marasayin where it doesn't apply so much today, or we don't apply it, is let's say you go into like a rest stop.
McDonald's, yeah.
Yeah. So McDonald's might be still a little bit different because McDonald's is more of a restaurant. But you go into like a rest stop, like, you know, where they have a place where they sell, let's say, like a Starbucks.
Right.
Right, so Starbucks, they have coffee that's kosher, and they have food that's not. So since it's very assumption that, what's it called, that you're coming in to buy something which could be kosher, right? So the assumption is we don't have to be kosher that you're eating one of the foods over there.
The famous example, McDonald's is diabetic, though. You know, this is brought down to Rav Pesach Kron and others like him as well. you know, that the guy has, the person is diabetic, and that's why he's going to McDonald's.
Oh, so that's something else, right? That's the issue, right? So that's the, you know, the flip side, Dalnikov's chus, you know, we should always be Dalnikov's chus. But on the other hand, it's actually like, you know, a little bit of a...
I mean, if we see, I mean, let's assume yourself going to McDonald's, no one's going to think that you're eating non-kosher. We're going to think you must have some type of food emergency here.
Right, you know, that's you know, that is the balance between Dalnikov's chus and Marasayin, but there still is the... There still is the halakha.
It's not going to be Marasayin Akshad, because you wouldn't think that McDonald's
Nobody's going to come and say, oh, if you're eating a McDonald's, then McDonald's is kosher. Right. The question is being choshesh you. Right. Like, for another example, they would give is like, you know, going to a hotel that has a tray for restaurant and walking in there, you know, the assumption is you're just going to be sleeping in the hotel. But any area, so that's where the idea comes. You know, Beis Hillel says again, shov chol mochiach chalav, you don't have that such a problem. What's interesting, though, is the Gemara points out that, you know, you have this machlokus between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about whether this type of a sulam presents a Maris Ayin problem or not. But the Gemara comes and says, Aval b'shus ha-yachad divrei akol mutar. When it comes to b'shus ha-yachad, where nobody theoretically is going to be able to see you, so then everybody's going to agree there's not going to be a problem. So the Gemara jumps off the bat and says, what are we talking about? Eini v'amar v'yuna marav. Rav said, "Kol makom shasru chachamim bebei maris ha'ayin." When the chachamim say maris ha'ayin, right? Afilu bechadri chadarim, usher. It's even usher inside. In other words, maris ha'ayin isn't so much a thing that, in terms of, are people actually seeing me, right? Just the fact that you could be seen, and theoretically, in a private area, yes, you could be seen. It's not as likely as in a public area. But Rav is of the opinion that Maris Ayin would apply. So, right over here, the way Rav Chanan's learning the Mishnah, that, hey, wait a second, it's going against Rav. And Rashi already off the bat, Tosos also discusses this and says, so what? What's the problem? Rav Chanan was an Amora. Rav's an Amora. All of a sudden we say, like in the Gemara, you know, Reish Lakish says something, it's a Kasha and Reish Lakish. Why? Rav Yochanan says something else. Abaya says something as a kasha. Why? Because Rava says something else as a stira. It's not a stira. They're two Amorayim. So Rashi points out that they make it clear that Rav, right? Rashi uses the lashon of Rabban Shakol Bnei Hagola Haya, that he was the head Rav of the entire Gola. So that's why what's it called? That's why it's a special status, and that's why we try to make sure that there is no issue between Rav Chanan Bar Ami and Rav. So the Gemara ends up saying, no, it's a Tanai here that's really a Machlokas Tanayim. It's meaning it's not that Rav Chanan is taking on Rav. It happens to be that there's already a previous Machlokas Tanayim that they had. And what was the Machlokas Tanayim? So the Gemara brings down the case of the Sad Yeshotcham Bechama, that there's a case where a person who's walking on Shabbos and all of a sudden either he falls into a water, he falls into a puddle, or probably more likely, at least in our times, that, you know, a person gets caught in a thunderstorm. One of those summer... one of those summer things where you're at least in New Jersey where it goes ahead and rains and like street floods in like 45 seconds.
That's just Passaic.
Oh, maybe just a Passaic over here, right? With the streets, right? 45 seconds it's flooded, stops raining. 5 minutes later the sun's out. Everything recedes, but this guy's suit now is totally soaked. So the Mishnah says, according to the Tanakhama, Shodcham Bechama, Valo Keneged Ha'am. Guy wants to put his clothes out to dry. He can stick him out in the sun. He just can't do it in front of people. Here, this Tana is saying that what Maris Ayin does not apply in Chadri Chadarm in a public area. That's how Rav Chanan would be holding like. However, Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Shimon Osrim, they hold that no, that Maris Ayin applies even in a place where it's a public area. Happens to be the Gemara brings an Ikad Amri. There's an Ikad Amri which starts out by saying that the Machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is not in Maris Ayin or not. In other words, they're saying that, the second Mandi Yomar is saying that, no, really, this type of a sulam is a problem of Maris Ayin. That the whole Shaila that they come out, that Rav Chanan's learning it, the whole Shaila is whether we're deploying Maris, whether we're deploying Rishis Ayakin or not. Gemara ends up bringing Maskana, not reading it inside, that the Tanakhama Rav Chanan hold that Maris Ayin is only in Rishis Arabin. And Rav's going to hold that, no, the Maris Ayin is even by Rishus HaYachid. So they would have a different way of understanding the Mishnah. But basically what comes out is that, from our Gemara's perspective, because Rav said it, that Maris Ayin is something we have to be concerned about in public and in private. And again, Maris Ayin we're concerned about, again, whether the person who's doing it is being violating a certain prohibition. Now, it's interesting that Zilberstein brings down a very interesting question. And the question he brings down is, it's a person who was a mashgiach in a very high-end, upscale restaurant in Eretz Yisrael. And it was sfira time. And this person, mashgiach, was holding of the minhag that not one shouldn't shave during sfira. Well, the owner of the restaurant took exception of it. I mean, here he's got this place where maybe they're charging $100 a shawarma, right? I guess 25 shekel, right? So it's four shekel a dollar, right? Or like, you know, $65 for a plate of, 65 shekel for a plate of hummus, a very fancy place. And all of a sudden, his mashgiach comes running out of the kitchen, hasn't shaved in 20 days, right. It looks like a slob. All of a sudden, his upscale crowd is going to pick himself up and leave.
Was he a mashgiach tamidi?
He was, yeah. So what he does is he goes and tells the... Yeah, he was. So he goes and tells the mashgiach, the owner says to the mashgiach, hey, you don't shave, I'm going to fire you. The question is, does the mashgiach have to keep his right shave? Does he have to give up his job for this, or should he shave? So Zilberstein brings down two possibilities. The first thing he says is that, wait a second, it depends. Depends, you know, what's going to happen in this place. If this person... you know, holds strong and says, no, I'm not going to shave during Sfira. And the restaurant owner says, okay, goodbye. I'll get another mashgiach who will shave during Sfira. And you're concerned that, well, this guy's going to give in Sfira due to pressure. You know what's going to happen? Maybe he'll give in to Basar Bechola because due to pressure and stuff like that. And you might not get a mashgiach who's competent.
Well,
so,
I mean, both of the Rabbanan. It's first Omer is the Rabbanan, and this is most...
Sphere Somer is not even the Rabbanan. Sphere Somer is a Minuk.
Right, it's a Minuk, so it's even less than...
It's even... You know, you're right. Listen, so, again, this is a question, though, in terms of, you know, your own personal thing. If you feel that you're going to get somebody who's a little bit... So, it's brought down that, you know, that they bring down the name of Yehuda Chassid, that when Moshe came and saw that Klal Yisrael bowing down to the Egel, so he says, you're not worthy of the Luchos. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do to the Luchos? He smashed them. The effect of Yehuda Chassid, why didn't Moshe just bury the Luchos? And the answer is, to stop somebody from doing an Avera, you're even going to go ahead and break the Torah, right, to do that. So, as far as something, you know, if shaving during Sfira is something that's going to go ahead and break and stop a person from sinning because he feels, you know, listen, if I keep here, I know I'm going to hold to a strong standard. I don't know what the next guy next to me is going to hold. By me sticking around over here will keep people from eating treif, so then I don't have to be worried about the Maris Ayin necessarily. I have to make sure that other people aren't going to go ahead and...
What's the Maris Ayin people are going to think that might because he shaved...
He shaved during Sfira, right. Oh, so here's the other question, right? So the question is, a person might say that, wait a second, if your Mashgiach is shaving during Sfira, then maybe your Mashgiach is not such a religious, scrupulous person. And if your Mashgiach is not such a religious, scrupulous person, then you know what?
I don't want to trust the
Kashrus. Yeah, I want to trust the Kashrus over here. You might want your mashgiach, you know, to... So that's the question. That's the other chashad that they put on the other side. That's the other tzad that they put in there. That possibly that, you know, this might not be a good idea for him to keep his position. Because on one hand, yeah, it might be he's going to keep that the kashas are going to be grading, are going to be better. But they're going to say, hey, you know what? We're not going to rely on this mashgiach. If this mashgiach is shaving during Sfira, and he's keeping something which is pretty much a minhag Yisrael in situations where people don't shave, you know?
Was this a real shaila because it's Eretz Yisrael, people know during Sfira. It's one thing, if it wasn't Sfira, in other words, if it was during the winter months, for example, here. But obviously the restaurant, no, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're dealing, it was a firm establishment, right?
I think so.
Right, unless there's some type of unique jacket and a hat and shoes to get into the restaurant, what would be the North Morris Ayin? Because it's during that time period. The question would be, if it wasn't during that time period.
No, so no, that is the Morris Ayin. They're going to be like, hey, you know, the Mashgiach is lax in he's lax in Sfira. And again, we know that, you know, of course there are plenty of heterim and kulas to go ahead and shave, but somebody who's working in a frum establishment like that, where, like you said, it's Eretz Yisrael, you know, people just assume that he should be allowed to grow his beard during Sfira. There might be a reason, the fact that he's not growing it might be because he doesn't care about it so much. And then once people see that he's not caring about this thing, they might not go ahead and keep it, you know, care about it also. And the suggestion that they gave, that Rav Zilberstein gave, is because, you know, he wasn't sure what to do in this situation. Because on one hand, he might be the best person for the job. Shaving will help the kashrus. On the other hand, people might, you know, might create a Maris Ayin child and say, wait a second, the Mashgiach's not so scrupulous in this, and maybe the food's not so good also. So he basically said, you should go to the local Rabbanut and tell the local Rabbanut and say, hey, listen, this guy's pressuring me. Could you go ahead and talk to him? And the Rabbanut will put a little bit of pressure on this guy and saying that, you know, listen, of course, you know, Tzvira, we want to make sure that there's plenty of Abbas Yisrael around there. So again, this one's pressuring him, this one's pressuring him. So you go around the back alley and pressure him back. And meanwhile, the Mashgiach ends up keeping his job. The restaurant's good, and all the people who want to pay $65 for 65 shekel for a plate of hummus,
they do so.
They can do so also under full, perfect, kashrus standards.
Sure. So what are the guidelines for like when Mars doesn't